Thank you. This is drawn from my master's project. And from here on, I'll refer to Franklinella occidentalis as their common name, Western flower thrips, and Franklinella fusca as tobacco thrips. So there has been previous research on these two species of thrips by Riley, Chituri, and Sparks in 2007. And they documented the effects of slash pine supplementation in a tomato and peanut leaf diet on the oviposition rates of western flower and tobacco thrips. And they found that under the pollen treatment, there was a significant increase in oviposition rates and the western flower thrips, nearly threefold. And in tobacco thrips, on the other hand, there was no such significant overall treatment effect. But on the pollen treatment, there was about 1.5-fold more or higher oviposition rate. And the difference between the degree of reaction between the two species could possibly be expected, because as the name implies, western flower thrips are primarily flower tissue feeders, and tobacco thrips primarily foliage feeders. And an additional study, and this is the one that in fact inspired the current project, is by Holshofka, Toy, and Vonanen in 2003. And they documented the life history characteristics of western flower thrips on a cucumber leaf diet with various species of pollen as a supplement. And in this case, there were several species, cattail, fireweed, birch, hazel, and Scots pine. And in this case, all the species of pollen that were supplemented in the cucumber leaf diet induced significant increases in the fecundity rates in the western flower thrips. But of all of those, Scots pine had by far the greatest effect in increasing the fecundity rate. And additionally, you can see the net reproduction values were the highest under the Scots pine supplementation treatment. And so we devised two bioassays, and they were each under the similar pollen, no pollen treatment. And the pollen used was a very light dusting of slash pine that was collected in the spring of this year in Tift County, Georgia. The first bioassay method was a leaf cage on tobacco. The second was a micro cage on onions. And in both species, we predicted the response would be an increase in reproduction on the pollen treatment. And so in the first bioassay, the leaf cage on tobacco, we took five age-synchronized females from either western flower or tobacco thrips, placed them on the leaf under one of the two treatments, allowed them to remain for 7 days in order to oviposit or feed, after which they were recaptured. And 8 subsequent days later, total offspring counts were taken. And this is what we found in both species. The mean total offspring generated per leaf was significantly higher on the pollen treatment than on the untreated tobacco leaves. And this was SOS PROC GLM after a log transformation. And likewise, in both species, the crude net reproductive value generated was found to be significantly higher on the pollen treatment than on the untreated tobacco. And so it appeared that reproduction was increased in both species on the tobacco. The second bioassay method was the micro cage on onion. And in this case, 2 age-synchronized tobacco thrips females were placed on an onion under one of the two treatments in one of these micro cages. And they were allowed to remain for 2 days. And after the 2-day time interval, they were moved to a new onion under a similar treatment. And there were a series of 10 of these 2-day time intervals in onions. A subset of those onions were then stained and oviposition counts were taken. And the remainder of the onions were allowed to sit until the offspring hatched and matured into adulthood, after which they were counted and captured. And so these are some of the results that we found. This is eggs, mean eggs, larvae, and adult females per time interval, 2-day time interval on both of the two treatments. And as you see, the eggs produced value is in the solid line at the top, and especially pronounced in the pollen. You can see it has a trimodal distribution. And one of the most striking differences between the two graphs and the two treatments is the height of the peaks. Under the pollen treatment, they were significantly higher than on the untreated, in some places nearly threefold higher. And we were then able to generate net reproduction values. We did this in two ways. The first way, we used all eight replicates of onions in which we counted mean eggs produced per female to generate one mean eggs produced per female value per two-day time interval, and thus one net reproduction value per treatment. And it was 1.39 on the untreated onions compared to 4.68 on the pollen-treated onions. So it was sizably larger under the pollen treatment. The second way in which we calculated a net reproduction is instead of using all eight replicates of onions to generate one mean eggs produced per female value, we broke them up into groups of four and thus generated four net reproduction values. And in this way, we were able to generate a mean net reproductive value per treatment, and it tested under PROC and OVA in the SAS, significantly higher on the pollen treatment than on the untreated, 4.8 as compared to 1.1. So again, it did seem that tobacco thrips increased reproduction under the pollen treatment on onions as well. So what relevance could this have? If you've ever been to the southeast in the United States during the spring, you will likely have noticed the massive influx of pollen. It really is a sizable amount. This picture isn't an exaggeration. And especially in southern Georgia, a very large percentage of that pollen that's deposited is pine pollen. This pollen event lasts for several months. These counts were taken over several years in Savannah, Georgia. And you can see that it starts prior to March, sometimes as early as late January, and extends all the way through May to peter out sometime after June. But this timetable of the pollen deposition coincides with the growth seasons of several economically important crops like tomatoes, tobacco, and peanuts. So if pine pollen or other species of pollen supplementation in pest thrips such as western flower or tobacco thrips diets does induce increased reproduction, if it has the same effect in the field in areas such as where tobacco, tomato, or peanuts is grown, then it may be worth or while to take pollen level dynamics into effect when predicting pest thrips population fluctuations. So in conclusion, I'd like to thank all of the staff at the Coastal Plain Experiment Station, as well as technical and student workers, and thank you. And then, any questions?
I have one question. What do you know about pollen deposition rates in the tobacco field? You actually measured pollen deposition on crops?
The question was, have we measured pollen deposition on crops such as tobacco or tomato? And to respond, no, we haven't done that. We're working on some data that were recently collected over a few years, but these pollen counts and thrips counts were taken in just an open field, an adjacent open field. So it would be one important study.
Thank you.